From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Gene Engany reading Babyface, a Bubba Mabry mystery by Steve Brewer. We begin with a short prologue. She wore nothing but white cotton panties. She was stretched across the bed on her face, her feet tangled in the sheets, one knee cocked up like she'd been trying to run. Long brown hair spread out behind her, snarled and twisted, her young breasts pooled against bare mattress. Her skin looked tawny and firm, but a couple of plum-sized purple bruises had surfaced between her shoulder blades. The back window dangled open on its hinges, rocking in the wind, mocking me. I holstered my revolver and, knees trembling, stepped around the end of the bed for a better look. Bruises wrapped around her throat like the skins of overripe bananas. Her head was twisted toward one shoulder, and the odd angle of her neck told me there was no need to hurry about an ambulance. I knew her. Her name was Dina, and she was maybe 15 years old. She was new on the cruise, one of those lost children who fall into prostitution early. I'd sometimes seen her on the street, dressed up in a Catholic school uniform with pleated plaid skirt and a thigh-length baby doll dress, all ready for the Johns to take her home and play with her. She hadn't been on the cruise long enough to get that hard cast to her face, that tight-lipped bitterness that comes from too many disappointments. Her face was as soft and innocent and full-cheeked as a baby's. The sweetest little baby face. One. It was another windy Thursday in Albuquerque. I was feeling lower than a toad. It was the end of May, long past the usual end of the spring gales, but that hadn't prevented the hair-snatching, eye-watering wind from sandblasting the city all week. I cowered indoors, draped over my easy chair like I'd fallen there from the sky, clicking through channels with the TV remote, bathed in the flickering glow. The drapes were drawn, and the door was locked, and the TV volume was up high, but I still could hear the wind's coyote howl through the walls. Two sharp raps on the door penetrated my blue haze. I switched off the television and dragged myself to the door. I winced before opening it, bracing for a blast of hot wind. But when I flung the door open, a huge, bald man filled my doorway so completely that not a molecule of air seeped in around him. The man had a face like a coral reef, lumpy and craggy and covered with warts and boils and pustules that looked like they could sprout tentacles if some prey happened by. The growths clustered around his bull-black nose, spread down the creases alongside his thick lips, disappeared into the folds of fat under his chin. They covered his ears, which had turned in on themselves in retreat, until they were like wads of chewed gum stuck to the sides of his hairless head. He could have been made of pale dough, rolled into a ball and plucked by fingernails until he was covered with lumps and peaks. He wore a long-sleeved shirt buttoned to the collar, but his hands were covered with the growths, and I could imagine what his body must be like. He had a peculiar odor, like he was rotten where he stood, and the smell caused me to stumble backward. He smiled, showing perfect white teeth, all that might be left after the rest of them degenerated into a bubbling pile of protoplasm. He looked around my dim room, moving only his eyes, then stepped inside before I could say anything. The wind followed him in, blowing grit across my linoleum floor.
"All clear, Mr. Sweeney,"
the misshapen giant rasped, and a short, fine-boned man glided into the room past him. The giant pushed the door closed, shutting out the wind. Even in the dim light, I could see that his hand left an oily, sweaty palm print on my door. I suppressed a shudder. I would have recognized Sultan Sweeney even if I hadn't already heard talk on the streets about his grotesque bodyguard. You couldn't live along East Central Avenue for long without crossing Sultan's path, or at least being warned.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?